Well, please turn with me in your bulletins, rather in your Bibles, to our scripture reading for this morning, and that's found in Matthew chapter 11, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. And I'm reading verses 16 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, reading verses 16 to 30. And hear now the word of God. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' But the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted in heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." And at that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. Some of you may be familiar with a television show that lasted for a number of years back in the 1960s called The Twilight Zone. And you might remember Rod Serling, very strange individual who would come with this very paced speech and everything, and he would talk about it. The Twilight Zone became a very popular television show. And there was one episode, and I'll even tell you, it was episode number 30, and it played back on May 6, 1960. And the title of it was "A Stop at Willoughby." And some of you, if you're aficionados of Twilight Zone, you might remember this. But it had to do with this individual by the name of Gart Williams. And Gart Williams was a businessman, and he had to ride the train back and forth to work every day. And he was one of those sad little creatures that life had already passed him by, and he would just sit there and look out the window and think about all the problems that he had. And every day he would ride back and forth on the train, and when he would get home, it would be a very lackluster time. His wife wouldn't greet him. There wouldn't be any food on the table, and he would have to get what he needed, and just this horrible situation, you know, very discouraging. And then the next day, he'd get back on the train, started all over again. And one day while he was on the train, he happened to notice that they were passing by this little town. And it was the little town of Willoughby. And as he looked out, it was like going back in time, because the grass was green, and there was a park there, and children were playing in the park. And it was just a beautiful, serene kind of a situation. And so every day, going back and forth from work, he looked forward to seeing this little town of Willoughby. And every day he seemed to be drawn closer and closer into that little town. Well, one day it turned out that the train stopped at Willoughby. And Gart Williams thought to himself, "I'm going to get off." And so Gart Williams got off in the town of Willoughby and started to see the green grass and started to see how lovely everything was. And the very next shot shows the train, and the train had been stopped. And the conductor said, "I don't understand what happened. This man just got off the train while we were rolling and fell to his death." So the undertaker came, and as the undertaker pulled up, the name of it was Willoughby Funeral Home. Another strange story from Twilight Zone. But you know, it kind of puts me in mind of something that we can all identify with in this life. Sometimes life does make us very weary and very disheartened about things, you know, as if things just never seem to work out the way that they should. You know, for the last 10 years, suicide in America has been one of the leading causes of death of Americans. In fact, it's the number two cause of death among teenagers, and that's suicide. Those individuals that have their whole life in front of them should have every reason to want to live, and yet suicide, the number two cause of death. Why? Because they don't have any hope that things are going to get better. Sometimes unexpected circumstances can add to this pain. And I have to tell you, I believe that there are several of these unexpected circumstances taking place right now. I think that our whole political situation is an unexpected turn of events over the last several years. Nobody could see it coming, but it's here. And it's what we're dealing with as America. This coronavirus is something that is an unexpected turn of events. And some of the things coming out of that, like the fact that there's no toilet paper anywhere, that's an unexpected event that people are concerned about. I've been seeing some of the funniest things on the internet about that. You know, one of them had a picture of Indiana Jones as he's in the cave, and he's got the thing, and he's going to take the statue, and he's all ready to take it, but when you look at it, it's actually a roll of toilet paper. I keep thinking, why toilet paper? Anyway. You know, some of the things that we're facing just are the results of a fallen planet. I mean, things that we just have to deal with. They're things that, they're consequences that we have to deal with. The problems, difficulties, and a lot of these are common to all mankind, no matter where we live, no matter what our personal circumstances are. For instance, in the book of Job, Job chapter 5, verse 7, the comment is made, but man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man is born to trouble just as sparks fly upward. And what it's saying is, because we're human beings, we're going to run into a certain amount of problems and difficulties. In fact, Jesus said it a different way, very similar thing though. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he said this, "As I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." What he's saying is that just living here on earth, we're going to run into a certain amount of problems, certain amount of trials. Sometimes we see people or we know people or maybe we ourselves feel like we're experiencing more than the average. But we don't know what other people go through. Always as a student in seminary, we would see those individuals that seemed to have their whole, everything seemed to be going their way. You know, they didn't have any debts. Usually it was the single men, and they had all the time in the world to study. They didn't have any debt over them. They didn't have to work a job or any, you know, and when you're going through the struggles of having a family and having to work part-time while you're going to school, you look at those people and you say, well, they've got it so easy. But then when you get to know those individuals and you find out, no, they've got real problems. They've got physical needs that we don't even understand because everybody goes through difficulties. We can never look at somebody else and say, I wish I were you, because the grass always seems greener on the other side, but it's not. We each have our own load. We each have things that we bear. We always think that no one else is going through the pain that we're going through. But the truth is, yes, they are. It may not be exactly the same, but the pain level is pretty equal. We all go through difficulties. We're all going through problems. You know, the disciples of Jesus experienced this, and when he sent them out to minister to other people and to spread the gospel, he sent them out two by two, and he gave them a warning. This is found in Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 18. And basically he says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. And don't be surprised when you're mistreated. Don't be surprised when you're dragged into court. Don't be surprised when your brother, your own brother, turns against you and condemns you. Don't be surprised at those things. It's all part of the cost. But also, don't worry, because I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will see you through. We see this is the context, the exact context of our passage this morning. This is what was happening right then. Jesus warned the disciples, the world is going to beat you down. Even your brothers are going to beat you down. Others are going to try to take away the joy that you have in me. The problems of this world are going to try to beat you down and take away all your hope and take away all your joy. That's because we live in a fallen world. And that's what our enemy does. But it's in this context that Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Now, who was Jesus speaking to right here? Of course, he was speaking to his disciples, but who beyond that was Jesus speaking to? Well, he was speaking to those who were weary and heavy laden. Now, the word he's using here for weary is the same word that's used to describe the physical state that a person would be in after a long journey. Now, even if we drive a long distance, you know, at the end of the day, we're pretty beat. We're tired, worn out. Okay, that's the physical parallel to what Jesus is speaking of here when he says, come to me, all of you who are weary. John 4:6, we have a passage where Jesus and his disciples have been walking for a long time, and Jesus was weary, the Bible says. He says, Jacob's well was there. This is John 4:6. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It's the same word that's used, that Jesus uses later when he says, come to me, all of you who are wearied. And it means that life has its way of making us tired, of beating us down. And you know, we see young people who are full of life and full of enthusiasm and full of strength and energy. And we think to ourselves, yeah, I remember when I was like that. But over time, we just kind of wear down. It's like the Energizer bunny at the end of the battery. You know, it just starts going slower and slower. That's what it means to be wearied. And Jesus is talking to those who have been wearied after this long journey. Possibly also he's speaking to those who are weary because they've been holding fast. They've been doing their level best to honor God and to live a life that's worthy of him. And everything around them, circumstances around them, just don't seem to be in favor of what they're doing. You know, we may have children or grandchildren that are rebelling against God and throwing our beliefs in our face and saying things like, how can you still believe those things? That's so outdated. You need to get with the times. We try to hold forth with the truth. This is what God's word says, and I'm holding to God's word. It can be very wearisome when we try to continue to proclaim the word of God to ears that are stopped up and closed. But he also talks about those who are heavy laden. And you know, this term, heavy laden, actually refers to that which we bear alone. Those loads that we carry that no one else really knows about. Those hidden difficulties and struggles that we go through. That's what he means here when he's talking about heavy laden. I always think about the Pilgrim's Progress and the picture there of Pilgrim Christian, who's walking toward the celestial city, and he has this huge pack on his back. And it's so heavy that he can barely move. And he's trying to trudge on, and he makes his way up this path. And there off to the side, there's a cross. And Pilgrim walks over to the cross. And as he does, the pack falls off of his back. And for the first time, he feels the complete freedom of being with the Lord, of having the Lord as his Savior. We even sing this song, "And the burden of my heart rolled away." And that's what he's talking about here, about being heavy laden. You know, sometimes we're prone that even when we know that Jesus loves us and we know that we can cast our anxieties upon him, we still want to hold on to it and keep it there with us. Because somehow we don't think that it's enough to just let it go and let Jesus carry it. It's like that farmer that was standing by his field, and he saw a man riding by, and he was sitting on top of his horse, and over his back he had a 50-pound sack of grain. And the one farmer looked at the other and he said, "Why do you have that on your back? Why don't you just put that onto the horse?" And the person said, "You don't expect me to let the horse carry the whole thing, do you?" But that's the way it is when we say that we're giving our burdens and trials to the Lord, and yet we're holding on to them and we're carrying them. He has said, "Cast your anxieties onto me because I care for you." But we hold on to them and we become weighed down with them and weary with them. That could be the burdens of family life, personal problems, maybe finances. It could be the consequences of our sin against God. You know, we're Christians, and we believe that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But how many people are still beating themselves up for sins that they committed years ago? They've not been able to get rid of those. And they hold on to them, and it weighs them down, keeps them from the joy that God has for them in Christ. We know Jesus' first command makes two commands here in this passage. And his first command is this. He says, "Come to me. Come to me, all of you who are burdened and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, the very fact that Jesus says, "Come to me," is an offense to some people. Some people don't like the idea that they're going to have to go to Jesus. You know, it's not our tradition here in the Presbyterian Church, but in many traditions, they have an altar out in front, and the pastor will invite people to walk down and pray at the altar. And there's a reason for that. You know, you've heard Billy Graham say it over and over again, and he says that every time that there was a public confession of faith in the New Testament, it was people coming to Jesus. And there's something about the physical motion of getting up and coming forward, coming to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Come to me, come to me." And a lot of times I want Jesus to come to me. I want him to visit me in the quiet of my own home, where nobody else can see, and I want him to do what I'm asking him to do. But that's not the way Jesus puts it here. Human nature hates to admit weakness. It hates to admit that it needs something from someone else. This is the reason why men have such a hard time asking directions. And I know that all you ladies out there are identifying with this. They hate the thought that they're going to have to depend on somebody else to tell them the right way to go. It's just born into us. Many would prefer it if Jesus would just come to them. But Jesus is calling those who are burdened and are heavy laden. We reach a point in our life when everything in this world is just simply not worth it. It's not worth it. I think about the two men, we're going to be looking at these in weeks to come, the two men that denied Jesus just before his crucifixion. One was Judas, the other was Peter. And both of them were burdened and heavy laden with what they did. Both of them took actions as a result. Both of them went out and wept bitterly. But Judas wept to death. Judas ended up taking his own life because he couldn't stand the weight of the burden. Peter cried out to God. Peter turned to the Lord, and the Lord took his burden away. Peter, feed my sheep. So Jesus is calling those who are weary and they're heavy laden, those no longer content with this world, those who are convicted of their sin. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. That's the first command. The second command is this. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. That's the second command. Well, we don't use yokes anymore, really, you know. But what is a yoke? Think about a yoke of oxen, or think about a yoke of mules. What is it? It's two fitting together. You know what a yoke looks like. It's a bar, and it has two spaces underneath it, and that yoke, the yoke doesn't just go over one, it goes over two. Jesus said, take my yoke, which means he's in half of it there. He's in one side, and he wants you to get into the other side of that yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Because Jesus made the statement to his disciples long before that. He said this. This is in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. He says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. What he's saying there is that you're already in a yoke. You're already yoked up to something. You're either yoked up to the world or you're yoked up to God. You're either a slave to this world and the things of this world, or you're a slave to God and to his righteousness. That's what Paul's telling us here in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. But Jesus is saying, take my yoke. Listen, there is a yoke with a very hard, harsh taskmaster. And those of us that have lived long enough to be a part of that process know how hard and how dark and how painful that process is. We know what it's like to be yoked up to the world and play by their rules and see what happens as a result. Jesus is saying, cast off that yoke. Get rid of it. Take my yoke upon you. And then he describes his yoke. You know, a lot of times you can gain a lot of understanding about the taskmaster by looking at the yoke that he's presenting. Look at the yoke the world offers, and it gives you an indication of what that taskmaster, which is the devil, what he's really like. The pain that he causes, the murder, the destruction, the disease, it's all coming from his yoke. Even this coronavirus, I mean, let's face it, this isn't a mistake. This isn't something that God brought onto the world. Best evidence we have now is that this was something that was contrived, something that was spread. I think we'll find out more about that as time goes by. But it's not something that God gave the world. It wasn't part of his yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you. And then he describes this yoke. He says, for I am gentle, I'm meek, lowly in heart, humble. This is what he's saying. And the result of all that, and you'll find rest for your souls. You know, I've spoken to people who are absolutely on the edge of taking their life, committing suicide. And almost every one of them will say, I have to get some peace. I'm willing to end my life because I have to get some peace. I have no peace. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke. And you'll find rest for your souls. Now, you know, maybe I could put that in a way that we all understand. Have you ever lost a set of keys? Have you ever lost your keys? And you look everywhere and you can't find those keys? You go to sleep at night, racking your brain, trying to think, where did I put them? You wake up the next morning, maybe they're here, maybe they're there. And you don't have any peace until you find those keys. That's what Jesus is talking about here when he talks about rest for your souls. It means you go through life knowing that something's wrong, something's missing, and there's turmoil inside as a result of that. And he's saying, come to me. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. For I'm humble and I'm lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I'm going to end with this. Some years ago, a musician that I'm sure you're all familiar with by the name of Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan went through what looked like a real conversion experience. Maybe it was true, don't know. That's between he and the Lord. But during the period of time when he was serving the Lord, he came up with a number of songs that are very touching, very moving songs. One of the songs that he wrote was, You Gotta Serve Somebody. That's the name of the song. And here are some of the theme is the same, but the words, he goes through a lot of different occupations and things, but this is just part of it. He says this, You may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be working in a barbershop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress or somebody's heir. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. His point was this. Jesus has called to us and said, Come to me. Come to me. All of you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The people that are burdened and heavy laden spiritually are those that God's Holy Spirit is touching, and he's drawing you to himself. Maybe you've been holding them off. Maybe it's something that you surrendered years and years ago, and you've been serving Christ. That's a great testimony. But if you don't have peace inside, if you're stirred up in turmoil inside, now's the moment, now's the time. Jesus is saying, come to me. In a time when our society around us is going crazy, everybody is in an uproar. People are full of fear and panic. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest for your souls. Cast those anxieties upon me because I care for you. Let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, again, we're so grateful and thankful that we have a friend, and his name is Jesus. And Lord, we pray and ask that our hearts would truly be turned to you, and that when we're tempted to be fearful and tempted to be hopeless and feel like everything is turning against us, that we have one who says, Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would encourage us this day that we could apply these things to our lives and draw closer to you as our Lord and Savior. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.